Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, beings. Welcome back to the show. What is this? Feels like our 90th episode. Little podcast humor. Podcasts. I have drastically improved my appearance for this episode. Blow drying my hair for a podcast. Pretty much almost nothing as futile as doing full makeup for a short snippet that's going to go online. But here we are, 2024. I'm still putting 2023 on things just to keep people on their toes. I made a song about Hondas that I sent to Kojak. I'm hoping he'll turn it around and it will be at the end of this episode. So stay tuned for that. Honda song.
Honda song.
Honda song. Why do they speed so fast? Why is it just ubiquitous Hondas blowing past you on the road? If you drive a Honda, call in. I want to talk to you. That's going to be one of the open topics for any episode. What's your psychology? What drew you to the Honda? Are you aware of the whole attitude of the Honda driver, the psychology? Is this something that you were consciously buying into when you got a Honda? Or is it something you realized once you bought one? Hey, I like to speed. I like to cut people off. I like to pass people. I want to learn more about the alchemy of Honda drivers. What happens? How do you transform when you get behind the wheel? And I really do, I stand by, it's Hondas and Mercedes. Both driver bases drive like bats out of hell. Where are you going? What you running from? So today, speaking of running from things, we have a very special guest. If I had money, I would play a Beyoncé song called Survivor right now. But instead, let's see what I can play.
I've been looking for someone like you, and you've been looking for somebody too.
Woo! So, this gentleman, Alex Messenger, kind of crazy that his initials and his name kind of conjure AIM Messenger. What if his name was AIM? His parents kind of missed an opportunity there, in my humble opinion. Anyway, he is standing me up right now, but I believe in him. It's like he escaped a bear, but is delivered directly into the claws and paws of old Chelky Pirelli. Waiting for him, salivating, much like a bear. Give me your bear story. Give it over. Give it to me. Kind of sounded like a bird call. That's another thing I'd like to get into, bird calls. The lines are open. If you know how to do bird calls, give us a ring or give us a tweet, tweedle-deet. My whole wheelhouse is being ironically annoying, and every so often I go, is this just really annoying? Is this just really annoying? Okay, I think he's here. Just in the nick of time, saved by the bell. Saved by the bear attack survivor, dare I say. And I'm going to admit him to the cauldrons of hell. Alex!
Well, hello, Chelsea.
Oh, hi. Yeah. I'm several coffees deep. Several coffees deep, Alex. I do apologize in advance. Woo! It's getting hot. I'm going to take off my coat. Let's get comfortable. How are you? Let's start with the now, right now.
Yeah, doing well. We finally have snow in Duluth, which is great. You know, living in the North Country without snow is it's pretty sad. So we had rain through Christmas, which is just so out of the ordinary. So we've got nice snowstorms today. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Oh my God.
Not in the cabin, but in my office / front room here, which
Wait.
Is...
I have to tell you,
lovely wood paneling.
So, okay, I'm writing down Duluth, and you said that's called the North Country.
I mean, you could describe it as being in the North Country. You know, up north would be something that like the Twin Cities folks would say, but we're right at the tip of Lake Superior. It's pretty
just
cold
the tip.
Area, and yeah.
Listen, I have to tell you, North Country sounds very Game of Thrones. I don't know much geography. I think I was a little checked out in elementary school. But I've noticed that you have, now I'll see if my producer agrees with me, you kind of have a whistling S.
I am hearing that a little bit, but I don't usually have a whistling S. I apparently have my mic too hot.
Oh, okay.
And I can change the levels on that if it's coming through too much.
Wait, you've heard that on, have you been doing a lot of podcasts?
Yeah, I mean, I did a lot when the book first came out, and then
okay, wait.
I did quite a few over the summer.
And when did your book come out?
November of 2019.
Okay, so... Because let's back up, because the callers don't know a damn thing. So you wrote a book about this bear attack. Is it about other stuff as well, or just the bear attack?
It's about other stuff as well, but it definitely centers around the bear attack and the trip that I was on when the attack happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of my background and such as well to give some context, but it's really centered around that trip. It's kind of like a little time capsule that starts at... beginning of the trip and ends, you know, as I'm leaving. So,
okay. First of all, I asked Laura to ask you, but I want to just double check. She relayed your message a little bit about what your angle and attitude is, because I don't want to ever put someone in an uncomfortable position. And I will say also, we can cut anything if you walk away from it, like this part I didn't like or whatever. I mean, don't get crazy. You send me a list of 50 moments you hated. You know, like often I play sound effects, like, tell me, would that bother you? For example, there's a sound effect of a bear roaring. Would that throw you into like a flashback to Vietnam kind of thing? Or is that like, are you good with all that kind of tone?
That should be fine. I was trying to think before this if there are any like specific audio triggers for me.
Sorry.
That's all right. And, I don't think there really are. You know, if we got, if you could do smell-o-vision, that would bring me back.
Smell-o-vision. Oh my gosh, that's right. Okay, so I read this article about your encounter, which I want you to walk through. But now that you mentioned smell-o-vision, I have to say one thing that stuck out was you said that bears smell like a dog that's never been washed.
Yep.
Ugh. I mean, it's crazy because when you're thinking about being attacked by a bear, I feel like smell is like the last thing as an outsider that you'd be thinking about. But of course, that adds to the terrifying beast energy that this thing smells like, probably, I'm guessing, kind of rotting flesh or whatever they eat.
Less rotting flesh and just like, you know, it's this musty animal that's got lots of fur and it just like rubs in all kinds of stuff. And it's just, you know, an amalgamation of their entire life. They don't really, you know, take a shower with soap.
Amalgamation. Great word. Great word. First big word out of the stable, amalgamation. 25 points.
Yes.
Okay, that's so good. You were 17 at the time of this attack. Can you just walk me through the story? I'm sure you've done it a bazillion times. I'll try to like inject some color in moments where you're getting bored of your story. Do you ever just tell it and you're like in your head thinking about like your to-do list? Or is it...
I don't usually digress that much. I mean, you know, at first when I was telling it, it was very real and very vivid, and it took a while to kind of desensitize myself to revisiting it. And so now a lot of times when I tell it, it's a bit of a replay.
That's how I feel about talking about my period. I had to like break it down in my mind so that I don't care about the horrors anymore.
Yeah, we all have different things that really impact us. So
we all have our Achilles heel. Was your Achilles heel injured?
My Achilles heel was totally fine.
That's good. That one supposedly really hurts. You know,
yeah.
I know I keep telling you to tell your story and then I start talking and talking and talking. And I promise I'm going to break that chain. I'm going to buck that trend right now. Okay. So you're 17. You're with a group of friends and tell me what were you going out to do and where?
Yeah. So when I was 17, I had the opportunity to go on this pinnacle trip that was the culmination of several years of going to this camp. It's the longest trip that was offered and you really have to work your way up to it. So I had a lot of experience going into this and then everybody else had gone on a similar track. So it's this 42-day whitewater canoe trip in very remote northern Canada and the Northwest Territories and Nunavut province. So 42 days of paddling and carrying your gear and kind of being self-sufficient.
Wow.
There were no resupplies or anything. It was just us and all of our stuff. And yeah.
Now, what are you eating on a trip like that?
Well, I mean, you know, when a lot of people think of going camping, they think of like freeze-dried meals and stuff like that. For a group like this, we were cooking a lot of our stuff from scratch. You know, there's pastas, there's salami and other like processed foods that are going to last that long. But a lot of it's just scratch cooking. You know, we had like a 10-gallon bucket full of onions that we cut up throughout the trip. And we like grew our own sprouts. And one of our guys, the guide, was really... good at baking, so he'd bake bread from scratch.
Whoa.
We ate really well.
Wow. I mean,
you don't think about that in the backcountry, but we ate really well.
Wow. Barrel of onions and some guy who bakes bread. Did he ever make onion focaccia? I love that.
That would have been awesome. We didn't have enough olive oil to do focaccia justice. So
So you're low on oils and fats?
Other baked goods.
What oils and fats do you bring on a camping trip of 42 days?
Well, most of our fats were from like butter. We did have oil with us, but we had like jars of butter. You just like unscrew them and just start shoving the sticks in until it's full. So you burn a lot of calories. So you're not necessarily going for a low calorie diet.
Right.
You actually want a calorie dense diet.
Right.
So fats are important. We'd also get natural fats from eating the fish that we'd catch up there, which, you know, great source of good fats.
Was that salmon?
It was lake trout primarily.
Mm. Yum.
Yeah.
So I remember camping with my dad and we got these trouts and he made like a garlic pasta with trout. I hope you brought garlic. Nice. That seems pretty portable.
Yeah, we had garlic. I can't remember. I'm sure we brought bulbs of garlic.
I'm laughing because I've gotten so sidetracked on food that I literally forget that I have a bear attack survivor in my clutches. But yeah, that was one of my most memorable meals, you know, growing up was catching a bunch of trout with my dad. This was in the Sierras and making this garlicky pasta and eating it with trout. And it was amazing. Oh,
that sounds delicious.
Yeah. Okay, so here you are. You've got your barrel of onions. You're out in the wild for 42 days. You're with one guide?
Yep, one guide and then a bunch of experienced campers like myself.
Right. You're really emphasizing the experience. I like that. I think that's going to come into play later. Feels like foreshadowing. Okay. So here you go. You're heading out. What day did the bear attack happen of the 42 days?
So the bear attack happened on day 29, which is what inspired the title of my book, The 29th Day.
Oh, my God. What an idiot. I didn't research at all. Kill me. Okay. The 29th day.
Which, you know, I mean, if you think about it, like, that is probably longer than most camping trips are just in general. And that's when this thing happened. And then, you know,
and
it would
periods,
be a long time before I got out.
Not to steer it back to periods, but a lot of people are on a 28-day cycle. Coincidence? Probably not.
Yeah, it's a cycle that's going to be familiar to many.
Yes, yes. Many listeners, but roughly half, a little less than half. Okay, so, and that's always what I'm going for. Okay, so the 29th day, so you had 28 days of absolute bliss out in the wilderness. And had you had any bear encounters prior to that?
We had seen a couple bears prior to that. We were in an area where they're very dispersed. We weren't even in grizzly country until almost 3 weeks into the trip. But we'd seen some really far off. This is north of the tree line, so you can see just for miles. And before going on this trip, we'd been told that you couldn't, you were lucky if you saw a grizzly bear. So we were counting ourselves lucky. We'd taken the opportunity to review what you're supposed to do if you see a grizzly bear and all that stuff.
Wait, that's so funny that you're like,
super lucky.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, you see a few bears on the desert, you're like, wow, we are lucky. Wait, so grizzly bear country, did you ever joke amongst your friends like, whoa, what if we got attacked by a grizzly bear? Like, was it a fear at all?
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Yeah, it was a fear. I mean, we didn't joke about it. I had these like daydreams of, you know, how you'd handle something. I mean, I feel like it's not uncommon to be like, oh, if this situation happened, I'd suddenly become a ninja, or I'd do these, you know, amazing moves, and I've got this fillet knife that it would bite on and whatever. And
but like a fillet
when
knife
actually happen, it's way different.
Of course, it has to be. And like, I'm just thinking like, you know, I was hiking with some friends the other day, and you know, I'm obsessed with bear attacks, God knows why. And the first thing I see at the trailhead is a sign that says bear, you're in bear country. And I'm like, I can't believe here I am, someone who's so afraid of bears. We have no protection whatsoever. And again, the person I'm hiking with, she's like, you never see a bear. You're not going to see a bear here. You know, and then she's like, we have these hiking sticks, so we could use that. And I'm like, you realize that to a bear, that's like a toothpick. Like, if you like weave your little hiking stick, it's like, wah, wah, wah. You know, it's nothing. So
yeah, it's going to roll its sleeves up and say, all right.
Yeah, great. Let me use that as just to pick my teeth before, after I eat you. Anyway, but I was just like, yeah, there's just this feeling when you really think about it. It's like, it feels like there is nothing you can do. The only ones that seem to be effective, and correct me if I'm wrong, is someone who's literally holding bear spray at the ready their entire hike.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, there's a couple different things you can do. You know, if you do end up with a close encounter, having bear spray or another deterrent is really important, but you have to have it accessible, like you're saying. I mean, it doesn't have to be in your hand,
yeah,
but it has to be something you can grab immediately, something you've practiced, you know, drawing. And
do you ever now, like, I know you go out into wilderness again and you're very, like, you know, brave. Maybe you've had therapy, I'm guessing. We can get into that. But do you now practice quick draws of bear spray? Like, it's in your pocket and you practice quick draws like 100 a morning?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like part of my daily routine. I'm not in grizzly country very often. But when I travel to like Glacier,
yeah,
for instance, you know, I made sure we were conducting ourselves in a bear aware, bear safe way, and practiced drawing it and practiced, you know, taking the safety off and stuff. And,
you
know, that's something that we did on for this trip. We it wasn't our practice to have it on our person all the time. And that's
that's how they get you
into trouble.
That's how they get you. They kind of peer around and look for those canisters as they're barreling 40 miles an hour. Now, grizzlies are also 40 miles an hour. Is their general speed?
Yeah, just shy of that is kind of their top speed. So significantly faster than you or I could run. Yeah. Not to judge your running speed, but
no. Please do. Listen, who am I, Cat Williams? I don't know if you've been following his tirades, but he's a very fast runner, apparently.
I have not.
So there you are. 29. Yeah, this is the thing that sucks also about bears is like they're always in the most beautiful places. Like Montana, I've always wanted to go. That's bear country. I mean, you know, I just went on Wikipedia, actually. Like, this is actually insulting because I don't know the name of your book, but I did read every bear attack in history on Wikipedia.
Nice.
But, you know, it is considerably few because it's every known bear attack. Oh, I was just looking at California, though. That's why it's so limited. But still, it's relatively rare. Do you ever like wonder? Well, let me not get ahead. I'm too excited for this whole thing. So here you are. You're eating good. You're hiking with your friends. You've got a guide. And what happens?
So yeah, 29 days in, we're on a layover day, which means we're not traveling anywhere. We're just kind of hanging out during the day. And partway through the day, the rest of my group decided to go to the top of this ridge behind our site and see what was up there. And I decided that I was too tuckered out and needed to take a nap. So I was going to meet them at the top when I was done. I woke up partway through that nap, just like suddenly feeling like I had to go. I had to get out of the tent and I was late, which doesn't make any sense in a place where we don't use a clock at all. And I got out of the tent and everybody else was down except for our guide, Dan. And I, you know, went over to this ridge and climbed up and talked to him on the way up and got to the top. And it was just this open expanse of land that just you could see everywhere. And so I was in the place where the rest of my group had been just minutes prior, and you can see, you know, 50 miles in every direction. And, and there's no trees or anything. And you know, the idea of something hiding around the corner just was like so foreign and hard to imagine. You know, it hadn't crossed their minds and it hadn't crossed mine. But, you know,
no, there's something also about men, like men love views. You know, I think it's like kind of like a Napoleon thing or something. It's like there's probably, would you say there's no other greater peace for you than standing on a ridge looking at a big view? Like, I think every guy that I know loves a big view. So, you know, and part of it has to be that sense of nothing can get me here or something. You know, I imagine if you have that much spaciousness in the view, you're thinking, I'm on top of the world one, and I'm safe.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the safety aspect, but I mean, it does kind of speak to the scope of the world in front of you. I mean, most of the time we are in these little spaces with walls around us and with, you know, we can't see very far. And then when you get to a point where you can just see forever, I mean, it kind of opens up the world to you in a way that is pretty unique, right?
Yeah.
But you know, the idea of a grizzly bear lurking around the corner wasn't at the forefront of my mind. And little did I know that as I was walking up one ridge, there was this 600-pound Barren Ground grizzly bear walking up the other
side. Okay, what is Barren Ground?
Straight for each other.
What is
Barren Ground is the country that we were in.
Oh.
So the barrens, there's no trees. We're north of the tree line. And Barren Ground grizzlies are essentially a subspecies that... you know, they're not like the coastal grizzlies that are sitting there picking salmon out of the river and getting fat and winning those fattest bear contests. These are like very lean animals that have a huge home range.
What is their normal food? The bears?
You know, they're usually grazing on a bunch of different things, and they'll do like opportunistic meals with bigger like caribou and such that they come across. I'm not a biologist,
okay,
that studies bears, so I won't pretend to be, but I probably should study up on that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you wrote a book. I was like, he's probably looked this up.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to look up the specifics, but yeah, they're grazing a lot. You know, they eat a lot of berries, and then
people.
Yeah, they are
berries and people.
They'll get bigger animals sometimes too.
Okay, so how do you first see the bear?
Well, the first sight that I got of the bear was just this tuft of fur that kind of appeared over the ridge in front of me. And it was 30 feet away. I'd been kind of like daydreaming, thinking about whatever. And I saw this, what was clearly an animal, but I didn't know what it was. And I just, my body had this immediate reaction, this immediate response that was launching me into a fight or flight. And I thought back to the musk oxen that we'd seen earlier, and they're really persnickety and they'll charge at you and fight off a grizzly bear. And that was a really bad situation. And then
hold on. First of all, one thing is the guide gone now?
Yeah, I'm by myself at this point.
So he was like, see you later.
Yeah.
And he left. Now, isn't there something in nature where you shouldn't be alone ever? That sounds really...
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a takeaway. There's a few different things that are pretty easy to do in practice that would have changed this story significantly. And having a buddy helps a lot. Although statistically, the likelihood of an attack drops a lot once there's three or more people.
Three,
so
okay.
Two people, it might still attack.
Yeah, but, interesting. So always travel in threes in bear country.
Yeah. that's the way I do it. I mean, you know,
I'd be like, can you guys,
by yourself, the risk is just so much higher.
If I go with two friends to Montana, I'm like, can you walk with me to the bathroom, both of you? Okay, and then tell me about the musk ox, because I don't know about this previous sighting of musk ox. Was it injured? Was it something where you're like, oh, that's bear prey? Or what was the significance?
Well, musk oxen, you can kind of think of as a cross between like a bison and a yak.
Okay.
And they're just like straight out of the ice age. They're this huge animal with a big like plate on the top of their head and these horns that loop around the outside. So they kind of look like they're, you know, Viking warriors with big fuzzy fur coats. And I don't think of them as being super intelligent, but they're really strong. They can be really fast. They, you know, usually are in herds and they're very defensive and they'll charge at random.
It looks huge.
So we knew that they were on the island. So that's kind of where my brain went first, and there's something that we didn't want to get too close to. So grizzly bears, much more of a worst case scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. I just looked it up. They look massive and they have like,
they're really big
horns, curly horns,
and they'll like blang into each other and, you know, show their dominance and whatever, but yeah, they're not necessarily something you want to mess with.
Okay, but this, like, if you had to choose, you would choose to fight one of them versus a grizzly bear.
If I had to choose,
yeah. Okay.
Exactly.
So you thought it was one of those, and then you register, you see the face, I'm assuming, and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, all this was kind of running through my subconscious, and my body's still moving towards this what ended up being a grizzly bear. And the bear and I both are kind of like on the same track. Like, what am I looking at? We both just walked into our full field of view. We lock eyes, and that's when I realized that this is just the worst case scenario, and that I'm alone, and that I'm standing 30 feet away from this grizzly bear. And
it
was
just
kind of like looking at me, trying to figure it out too.
Right. You're both a little like, Okay. And is your voice gone, or do you find some sort of yell? Like, do you think yelling works in any way with bears, particularly grizzly bears?
I didn't yell at this point. I was still just processing what was going on. My voice came to me shortly thereafter. I think when you've got enough on your side, whether it's like multiple people or, defensive materials like a firearm that you've trained on or bear spray or what have you, you can be like, hey, get out of here. But what we were trained to do and what I flashed back to next was that process of what you're supposed to do. Part of that for us was to, if you're not with the big group, talk to the bear, try to convince it that you're not a threat, back away slowly, avert your eyes. So like I had people's voices in my head playing, saying, hey, bear, whoa, bear, it's okay, bear. But I also I had this just very distinct vision of pulling out the bear spray, of taking off the safety, of pointing it at the bear and of spraying it. And that whole thing played out in my mind. It was what we'd practiced. And I just, I couldn't do that because the bear spray was in the tent. Because that's where we thought we'd get surprised. So,
God,
yeah,
that's the worst.
That was a rough pit of the stomach moment.
I want to make another period analogy, but I'm not going to do it. This is very unlike me. I do not talk about my period, okay? For whatever reason, it seems funny to do that in the light of this horrific story.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll unpack it later. I don't need you to be involved in the unpacking of that. Okay, so you... that is really the ultimate fucking like you don't I mean so did you then have nightmares about this over and over where you're like, not I don't have my bear spray? I feel like I would have that.
Kind of. I mean, my nightmares are interesting. They're not like replays of what happened. They're like fantastical things where the bears are talking, or there's like families of them or herds of them, like all these things that just don't make sense with what bears would actually do. I often don't have the tools that I need, but after the fact, like that's a great thing that I have control over in real life.
Right.
I can bring these things with me. I can work to avoid situations where I'm going to surprise a bear. Cause in this case, I didn't have the tools with me. I was alone. I surprised the bear like up close. And then,
now,
there weren't
too
many options. I was wearing sandals. I mean, not the best.
Oh my God. Sandals, so vulnerable. Sandals are vulnerable even just like walking down the street. For a man in sandals, you're like, mandals, vulnerable. I see toes, I see hairy toes. It's like a lot. But when a bear is in play, oh my God, that's vulnerable times 1,000.
No toe protection,
no toe helmets. You normally wear toe helmets, I'm assuming. Just kidding.
No, bad. Not specifically.
Not funny. I take it back. Okay, so you and the bear are now facing off. And what's the first thing that you or the bear does in this encounter?
Well, we're kind of staring at each other in that first moment, just figuring out what we're looking at and what we're going to do next. And I started to avert my eyes, to lower my body, to make myself smaller and kind of back away slowly and sort of try to convince the bear that I'm not a threat, that it can just go about its business, that it doesn't need to come over and do anything else. And I started saying that, hey bear, whoa bear, it's okay bear, which I wasn't really convincing myself.
Yeah, but
apparently
it's soothing.
Not the bear either.
It's soothing to like comfort the bear instead of like, yeah, you're like, you're okay. Oh my gosh.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about like a dog, if you're aggressive to a dog, they're going to respond in kind.
Right.
So it's kind of analogous to that. And so I'm, backing away slowly, trying to convince it that it doesn't need to do anything else. And it basically It starts to test me. It launches into this this stationary bluff charge, and it's just like trying to psych me out. And it launched onto its front paws, and it was like,
"Oh my god! Wait, something. Should I hey, play the sound?"
Over. Oh yeah, you got a sound effect.
So it's
sure.
like this.
Yeah, kind of like that, but more grunty.
You're saying it wasn't as dramatic. It was more like.
Well, I wouldn't say it's less dramatic. It was just more of like a grunt. That's like a prolonged like. Rah.
Yeah.
This was like. Like as it launched onto God. Its paws, and it basically like crescendoed all the things that it was doing.
Hold so on now.
Stationary bluff charge.
Your vocabulary is through the roof. But I guess all that incredible vocabulary was no help with this situation. Okay, so
words
it crescendoed.
Don't work.
Yeah, words don't work. Okay, so he's grunting. He's like, you're saying he's kind of lunging at you, like with his paws in the dirt, but his face near you. How far away is he at that point?
Well, it hasn't really started to close the distance yet. Like okay. that first time, it's just in one spot and it just lands on its front paws.
Like 30 feet away still?
Yep. And it basically faded from that stationary bluff charge to a full speed charge. We talked earlier about how bears can run, you know, 36, 40 miles an hour. So it closed that 30
I feel
foot
like,
distance.
I like how you're quick. Kind of negging the bear. You're like 36, you know, you're not giving it the full 40 that I found online. Okay.
Well, you know,
yeah.
The number I saw was like 36 point something, but
okay.
you know, it's
fair.
It's just way faster than I was backing up slowly. So
sure. How fast no can contest. You run backwards, max?
Yeah, I max out at about like 4.5 miles an hour.
Yeah,
I think,
shuffling backwards yeah. in sandals.
Yeah, exactly. In sandals. Yeah, so it faded from, you know, that stationary bluff charge to coming at me full speed. And I faded from hey bear, whoa bear to yelling obscenities and help and trying to get the attention of the rest of my group because they had no idea what was going on. You know, I was by myself. It had only been a couple minutes, you know, so there's no reason for them to be like, hey, how's it going?
Right.
And the wind was going the wrong direction and there was this big ridge behind me. So they had no idea that any of this was transpiring, you know, even
oh
as this bear is.
It's like a soundproof.
Growling and grunting and I'm yelling.
Ridge, soundproof ridge. So, okay. Yeah. And what obscenities are your go-tos?
I think.
You motherfucking bear.
I think it was mostly like fuck and then no, you know, those two combined are pretty powerful.
Fuck no. Something like that. Okay,
yeah, something like that. So yeah, it's just that's kind of a blur. I don't really remember the scripting of
okay.
my obscenities there.
Okay, fair enough. Do you now also record all your hikes, like audio?
No.
Just in case.
I've tried to every once in a while do like, you know, vlogging style, and I can't get over it yet. I gotta practice more.
Okay, had you seen Grizzly Man prior to this?
You know, I don't know if it had come out yet. So this was in 2005. This was the year that YouTube became a company. So, you know, way back when.
Wait a minute. I thought you said it was 2019.
2019 is when the book came out.
Oh.
So this happened in 2005 when I was 17 years old.
Wow. Okay. And Grizzly Man, what year did that come out?
I'd have to check IMDb.
Oh, look. Don't worry about it.
I don't think it had come out yet.
Okay.
I'm guessing that the incident had happened where the guy who that's about.
2005. It came out.
Yeah.
What the hell?
What month? I hadn't seen it yet.
Numbers. How crazy. So meaningful. Okay.
Yeah.
So auspicious. Auspicious. What? Auspicious? Come on. Now you're just trying to get vocab jackpots. Okay. So Grizzly Man came out the same year you were attacked by a grizzly bear. If I were you, I would have been milking that to the high heavens amongst my peer group.
Didn't cross my mind.
Okay.
I'll get it.
Okay, so here you are. He closes the gap, charging 30 feet towards you. Does he make contact?
Yes.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Contact was made, but when it was 5 or 10 feet from me, I didn't really know what to do at that point. I could feel the ground like shaking under its paws. Whoa. And I had my camera in a Pelican case. It was like a 15 pound block of camera, and it's the only time I'll throw my camera.
Sure.
It's also the only time I throw mine and hit something it was supposed to, because I was a terrible shot. But I just wound up underhand, just totally on instinct, launched it and hit the bear square in the nose.
Wow.
With enough force to turn its head all the way to the side.
Incredible aim. Nothing should warrant a jackpot more than hitting a bear square on the nose with an object.
Absolutely. It's the only time I've been able to do it.
Phenomenal. So, okay. The bear is hit on the nose, but this doesn't work, right?
Yeah, it hits the bear and it hits it with enough force to turn its head all the way to the side, and the camera case goes flying, and for a couple of steps that bear couldn't see where I was. Oh. And so, like I said, that was when it was 5 or 10 feet. It keeps coming and I'm able to jump out of the way and dodge it on this first pass, like bullfighting style.
Wow.
I jump out of the way and it misses me, and as soon as it's like looking at me as it goes past, because it finally got its head back around, and as soon as it realized that it missed me, it turned around and it came at me again, and I basically kept bullfighting it like this for several passes where it didn't bite me, it didn't hit me that hard. But we just got closer and closer, and it started to get me with its claws, and it was snapping at me with its jaws, and it was just this terrible dance that was just kind of coming towards the two of us making contact.
That is so terrifying.
Yeah, it was awful.
Was this the song that was kind of going through your head?
What you want from me? What you want from me? What you want from me? What you want from me now?
Not exactly.
Or you kind of knew what the bear wanted. Was it?
I didn't quite know it. Well, I knew what the bear wanted. It wanted to, you know, mitigate this threat. I didn't have any music playing through my head at this point. I was just kind of realizing how terribly this was escalating and how my mortality was approaching.
Was your life flashing? Did you like text your mom, "I love you," real quick?
I didn't have a texting plan on my phone that was sent home. That was back when you had to pay for every text message.
Oh my God. Right.
But
times have changed. I wish I had to pay for every text message now. It would limit me, you know?
You'd have to think about it. It'd be like shooting film. You're like, should I take this picture?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I didn't really have that sort of life flashing before your eyes moment while this was happening. It was just this incredible mental clarity that, you know, has been refined over eons as a species of this fight or flight moment.
Right.
And so we're just, this bear and I are dancing. We're getting closer and closer. And the next time it came at me, it bit at my leg, and I pulled my leg out of the way, and it snapped shut just inches next to it with a big clack.
Oh my God. At the same instant,
it reached up with its paw and it hit me across the face. And I saw it when it was just inches from my face. And I thought to myself, oh no, this is.
Oh my, like you saw the paw like in slow motion, like freeze right before it hit your face, and then it hit your face.
Yeah, basically.
Did I have this like image
of, you know, the lifelines of the bear and claws and fur just like right about to smack me.
Whoa, that is insane.
Yeah,
so wait, so crazy. Your face wasn't harmed though, it looks like.
Yeah, I was incredibly lucky. The distance was just perfect where like the meat of the paw hit me in the face and like the claws were kind of back by my ear and the back of my head.
So you've been slapped by a bear. What did it make? Did it make a slap sound? A clack and then a slap?
A clack and a slap. It was like a thump. I mean, I kind of compare it to a board wrapped in leather.
Ugh.
Being swung by a hydraulic arm.
Ugh.
Or you can think about yourself swatting a mosquito out of the air. That's kind of what I was like to the bear.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
It was just a huge amount of force. My head whipped to the side and I went flying to the side. And that's when I realized that there was nothing physically that I could do against this bear. It's just this incredibly powerful apex predator. 600 pound grizzly bear versus 150 pound.
You know what's crazy?
17-year-old kid.
So back to this whole Wikipedia of every bear attack in California, a lot of the bears and the victims were discovered both dead, where the people had fought, they had shot the bear or stabbed the bear, and eventually the bear succumbed to the injuries. Or it would be the person was dead and the bear was dying slowly somewhere due to being stabbed or shot. But, you know, there was like these scenes that they were describing in like two sentences of finding both bear and victim dead together because they had had this mortal dance.
Right. Yeah, it's terrifying. And people can get, I mean, it's so gruesome what injuries people can get from a bear attack.
Do you know that my grandmother used to say to me, "You gruesome," like to mean like you gruesome,
right? Anyway,
so pretty cool wordplay.
Real gruesome.
Have you ever played Puns of Anarchy?
No, but I do dabble in puns. So
I feel like you would love it. I feel like you would love it. You've got the vocab. I played it for the first time this weekend, and I gotta say, it is should be called Funds of Anarchy. It's a it's a fun game. Yeah. What if you
and
just hung
up? And they're the sponsor of this show, right?
No, I wish. I have no sponsors. So now you've been bitch slapped. Could I say bitch slapped? Is that inappropriate? You've been pounded across the face by this bear. Also, what was the other thing it did? Oh, it clacked. I love the word clack. So comedy-wise, sounds really make me laugh. The idea of a bear clacking its jaw right by your face and then slapping you. But in my mind, I'm imagining a crisp slap sound. It's like the Charlie Chaplin of bears. You know, it's like, it's starting off funny, but we know it's not going to end there. What happens next?
So next, I'm midair being thrown by this slap and, haven't hit the ground yet. And I just realized that, like, there's nothing physically that I can do against this bear. And I'm just so sure now that I'm about to die, which is a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
And it still had that paw up and it kind of, like, hooked me around my, like, midsection as I'm still falling, threw me down to the ground, hard on my tailbone, and it had its head right at the top of my thigh.
God.
And
this had to be a little bit
around my leg.
Oh God.
And just sunk in both sides of my leg. And I watched that happen and people are like, so the adrenaline rush take care of the pain? Like, well, no.
Oh my God.
I felt its teeth go in both sides of my leg.
Oh.
And then,
do you think you screamed?
I think I like, yeah, let out some sort of guttural, grunty roar thing.
Now, I mean, you know what would be so crazy? And this probably just doesn't exist anywhere because it's so rare, but video of this would be, I mean, sometimes I wish I had video of my life. And like, the good news is there is pretty much video of everything we do now. There's almost no privacy in the world, except probably in bear country where you were. But
yeah,
sometimes I'm like, if I have an argument with someone, I'm like, they're like, no, you said this. I'm like, God, I wish I had video. Let's roll the tape.
Review the body cam.
Yeah. But like the way you're describing this, it feels like it would be unfathomable to see a human being slapped up into the air and then he catches you midair with your legs. And it is a male bear.
You know, I don't know. And in the words of the person who was kind of monitoring my whole medical situation, he said to some experts who asked the same question, you know, I don't think he took the time to examine the genitalia of the bear.
You didn't say,
bear,
do you mind,
encounter.
You mind spreading your legs for me for a sec?
Yeah,
I
didn't get a good look.
Well, all the ones on this Wikipedia that's now pretty much famous, the California Bear Death Wikipedia,
oh boy.
Many of them said that the bear was later retrieved and human remains were found in its body. Like I don't know if they still do this, but they were euthanizing the bears that attacked and searching the contents of the stomach.
Yeah, I mean, it varies based on each situation. But, you know, a lot of times when there is a negative encounter like that, there's a reason for it. Like the bear is sick or they become habituated to humans or see them as a food source or something. So they're not, you know, that's not their first offense necessarily.
Right.
In this situation, it was just a bear going about its business, you know, and it wasn't seeing me as a food source. It wasn't seeing my group as a food source. It wasn't like dumpster diving and such. It was just kind of this terrible happenstance of the two of us on this ridge.
This is so crazy. Okay, so you black out with your leg now fully bitten up, like your thigh?
Yeah, right at the top of my leg, just below the hip joint.
God.
Okay. Yeah. About as high up as you can get on the leg.
Okay, so then what happens?
So the lights go out and I'm, you know, assuming that I'm dead at this point and just full of this feeling of loss. And the next instant I remember I'm like kind of tumbling like I'm under a wave. I don't know which direction is up.
Oh my
God. I can't
God.
Really figure out where I am. And I finally get my bearings and I realize that I'm still on top of this ridge. And then I'm like scanning the horizon and I realize that the bear is still there. This grizzly bear is running away at a trot, but it's watching me the whole time that it's running. And so I
like it's looking
so sure
it's looking over its shoulder.
Yeah, like, you know, running and kind of checking back to see if I was back in the fight at all, because right. It wanted to eliminate this threat. And then as soon as that threat was eliminated, it wanted to get out of Dodge. And I'd been playing dead very effectively when I was unconscious. And now I had to play dead consciously. I didn't want to screw it up.
Right. Did you go like, I'm dead or anything to really sell it?
Yeah, I figured that silence was probably the best.
Oh,
way to
yeah.
sell it. Silence and motion.
Hey, that's a great song we have.
Silence is the purest truth.
Okay, so there you are playing dead and it's running away. So was that the end?
Of that very short chapter. So there's running away. I'm now playing dead consciously, waiting for it to go back over the ridge so that if I, you know, stand up completely, it's not going to see me. And I just had to wait, which was really hard to wait. And so I just held still. And then once the bear was far enough away, I was like, okay, I need to get back to camp because I just got mauled by a grizzly bear. I have to get there before my adrenaline rush wears off because I didn't know how long I would last. I knew I was really injured. And at this point, my adrenaline was masking that. And I was like, I can get there. I don't know how long I'll be able to get there for.
Do you remember were your sandals still on?
My sandals were still on. I was wearing a pair of Chaco Z2s, which have the toe strap. They're incredibly secure.
Wow. Is this an ad? So. Is this an endorsement?
They should be a sponsor. Come on.
They should be a sponsor of your tail. And now I have to see this. Why has it got Chaco? Is it maybe the chocolate that attracted the Chaco Z's?
I think it's Chaco Canyon or something like that.
Chaco Z's too.
So yeah, they were still on. I still had, you know, all my stuff. I had my Pelican case was over there somewhere. I had my summer reading book because I was about to become a senior in high school. And so I had my summer reading book with me. And
what was it?
For some reason, I felt like it was prudent to pick that up before.
Prudent.
So I got that.
Oops, wrong cue. Prudent. Sexy music. wait, what was the book you were reading?
That was The Liars Club. I took it as a sign not to finish it, though. So
I don't know that one.
I told my teacher that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good get out of jail free. You're like a bear ate my leg work.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not funny.
So
this
I didn't
episode.
Do my homework.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got that. I got my camera case and I started running back to camp, which was 200 yards away as the crow flies. And the last 50 were 100 vertical feet down. It's this ridge that I climbed up.
Oh my.
To get up to the top of this this hill we were on, and it was super steep. It had taken me 10 minutes to scramble up, and I would have to surmount that to get back down to the group. And the whole time I'm checking to see if the bear is behind me, if it decided, you know, to turn this into an opportunistic meal, or that, you know, it heard me scurrying or whatever.
Yeah.
And so just trying to be as quiet as possible and hoping that I was going the right direction, because, you know, I'd lost consciousness. I wasn't sure, you know, exactly which way to go back. There weren't exactly road signs.
Oh God.
And so I was like, if I get back to this ridge and I see the guys, I'm gonna see the canoes and I'm gonna see the tents and I'm not gonna be alone anymore. And I finally got to the ridge and I looked down and that's what I saw. And I knew then that if I yelled to them, they know that I was there, something was wrong, and that I wouldn't be alone anymore. So checked one more time over my shoulder to see if the bear was coming back, and then yelled, "Hey, bear, bear, guys, bear." And they're like, "Whatever, Alex." I'm like, "No, a bear." They thought I was playing a terrible practical joke on them.
Really?
Yeah. They were just not believing. It's like, "No, bear," but every other word was, you know, an expletive again, trying to get them to believe me.
Oh, and I thought you were going to say they weren't there, but they were there.
They were there.
Okay.
They were there. I said, "Bear." And they were like, "Whatever, Alex." I'm like, "No, a bear." They're like, "This, you can't joke about this. This is not something that you could joke about." I was like, "I am not joking. This really happened."
Yeah. I mean, you had to be covered in blood, right? But were they far away? They couldn't see you?
They were far away. You know, my feet were covered in blood, but they couldn't see my feet because I was still standing on top of the
your
ridge.
Your Chaco Z's? Your Chaco Z2s?
Were not yet visible. My leg, where my biggest injury was covered up with a bunch of layers, and the blood hadn't really gotten to the top layer yet.
Okay.
So I looked pretty okay. It was just me on top of a ridge, and they're like, "What's Alex talking about?"
Right.
So after a couple back and forths, Mike turned to Dan. He's like, "I think he's serious." And they exploded out of the tent and started getting first aid kits. And
wait, so the bear was gone. Spray. That was it. That was it for the attack.
That was it for the attack.
Okay. So you're,
that's all.
That's all just a mild mauling by a grizzly bear. What's the book for? Wait, okay. Right. So it didn't get your arms at all?
Well, it did with its claws.
Yeah.
But
just grizzly bear claws. It's like a bee sting.
You know, I guess I was lucky that the claws weren't like recently sharpened. They were pretty dull.
Yeah.
They had a lot of force behind them, but because I had a lot of layers on, I had like long underwear and a shirt, a heavy duty shirt kind of like this, and then some heavy duty like jackets. So there's some claw marks on the jacket where it like polished the fleece, it like burned it from friction.
Whoa.
But didn't actually go through it. So I had like red marks and stuff from where the claws had gotten me all over my back and my arms and stuff.
Is it, did it make lasting. It? I don't know what year it came out, but did that make it too traumatic for you to watch Edward Scissorhands?
I think that came out before this. So I remember that from my childhood, but okay. No, I was still, you know, that's traumatizing from a different perspective.
Of course. Yes. Okay. So you're all scratched up, and then, okay, then you had, okay. So at least the bear is gone now. Huge relief. You've survived.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
And what percent of people attacked by grizzly bears survive?
That's hard to pinpoint exactly. But, you know, a lot of people survive. A lot of people don't survive. it's kind of surprising that, like, when you look at grizzly bears and when you look at black bears, if someone gets attacked by one, they're statistically more likely to be killed by that black bear than they are with the grizzly bear.
People really?
Get grievously injured with a grizzly bear. But I think in general, you know, when a black bear attacks, something is wrong with that bear. That bear is sick and going after people. Whereas, like with grizzly bears, it's more likely, like in my case, where they're trying to mitigate a threat and they want to incapacitate someone. So they're not necessarily going to finish
the job. Well, that's horrible.
They can't.
That is horrible news, because California, we have black bears, right? I'm pretty sure. And they're always
they're less likely to attack.
Yeah.
You're less likely to have an interaction with them like that. So,
well, and I heard that your message, I mean, I do want to hear about your harrowing journey to get medical help, because that was also crazy and fascinating. But also, I do think it would be interesting, because I know that one of the things you emphasize before we got on this chat is that you don't want it to dissuade people from going out into nature and things like that. So how have you come to terms with it in terms of still enjoying nature and not making it like too cautionary of a tale where people don't go on hikes or things like that?
Yeah, I knew that was something that would be a challenge to kind of get to that point, because, you know, it's a serious trauma. I mean, you know, there are acute injuries to deal with, and then there's like the longer term impact and anxiety and you know, mental health challenges that come with something like that. And so I sort of worked my way back to the outdoors through like micro dosing trips into the woods in more controlled environments and with more people, and then like gradually working my way to going to the Boundary Waters, which is this amazing wilderness area we have in northern Minnesota, and bringing along, you know, security blankets that I would that would make me feel more comfortable. Like that first time I went back, I was wearing like a tactical vest and I had a machete and bear spray and you know, all the things that are just a little over the top.
I thought you were saying you were like surrounded by security details. So you're like, you're like a US president now. When you go in the wild, you have 8 armed men surrounding you like a militia.
Yeah, I always hire private military contractors for my backcountry trips now.
Yeah, it's the best way to enjoy nature, you know?
And that's what I recommend to other people.
That's great. That's a great message.
Yeah, it's very expensive. My whole thing is like, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, but there are a lot of concrete things that you can do to help avoid something like this happening. You know, first of all, if you're in grizzly country carrying bear spray, you know, avoiding a surprise like around a corner or over a ridge or something. So like making noise and making your presence known.
You could like blast every ridge off with dynamite before you walk over it.
Yeah, that would be an excessive intervention. But,
throw a hand grenade every 100 yards.
Don't just play stuff on a Bluetooth speaker forever, you know. But like having conversation and songs, and some people wear bear bells and whatever, but making it so that when you get to that ridge, the bear's not like, whoa, where'd you come from? You know, Usually they're going to try to avoid something. They're going to be like, I hear, you know, docile tones of some music, and they're going to go the other direction.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, being with a group of people, so that it's not just you, and then having this plan of how you're going to conduct yourself in the backcountry. So
do you think that, do you think a rain stick would work for noisemaking? You carry a rain stick, the first hiker, and you're just constantly on rotation duty, flipping the rain stick to scare the bear.
Which gets tiring. And yeah. I probably wouldn't recommend.
But you know what? But I bet you could make a mechanical rain stick flipper to keep the rotation constant. That's something I'm working on.
That's true. It's probably not something that the grizzly bear would hear and go, you know, I bet that's people.
Yeah, you're right.
Until it got used to it.
It might be like, I love rain. This is my favorite hunting weather.
Yeah, it draws them. Yeah. So, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff that you know, we can each do to help improve, you know, our fates, right? To help kind of control the controllables, and then, you know, you can enjoy everything else and recognize there's a lot that you just can't control. So, you know, with a high risk thing like this, like a grizzly bear attack, like do what you need to do to keep yourself safe and to defend yourself if something happens, and then, you know, have fun with it. Because there's so much to be learned and enjoyed out in the wild. And I think, you know, I've grown as much as I have doing anything by being outside. So I want other people to do the same and to, you know, learn from this, but not feel like they can't go out and do stuff.
Right. I mean, listen, driving is dangerous. Flying is dangerous.
Exactly.
We as humans, we have to walk into danger every waking second of our lives. That's how I look at it. But
exactly. I mean, statistically, you know, getting on the freeway is much more dangerous than going on a backcountry trip.
I know, but you know what I was telling myself yesterday? I was like, actually, I should be scared every time I drive. Rather than like using that to not be scared of other things, I'm like, why am I not scared every time I get in the car? Because I've started getting kind of scared to fly. Anyway, I don't know what the bear attack obsession is, but I think it is just like, I've often lived in cities, and I think there's people all over the world, and obviously even more historically, when the population of grizzly bears was larger and the population of bears in general, and like bear attacks had to be more of a constant fear, you know? And like wild animals, it's like we're wild animals, but we say, oh, I'm getting too like heady right now. Let me calm down. Anyway, the point being, it is crazy how like we don't live in danger of wild animals when that's probably been a huge part of human existence since the beginning of time.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, we've evolved as a species to, you know, be out in the wild and to be aware of ourselves and to recognize that danger, this very primal danger of this predator seeing me as prey or you know, wanting to incapacitate me. And so it just taps into this very elemental level of ourselves as humans that, you know, it brings all of us back to this kind of shared background of when we were not in cities and
right.
not in our cars and such. So
it's crazy. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
Shared fear.
It's amazing in a way that you had that experience. Like, okay, here's a question. If you could undo the experience, would you?
You know, that's hard. I mean, it's been so formative for me. If I were to go back and do it again, I would do things differently so that it wouldn't happen. But I also recognize that I'm who I am today because of what happened. So I think there's, you know, I don't want to wish that I could change the past. I want to learn from it and figure out, you know, how I want to carry that with me going forward. So I like to think about it that way, as opposed to like making that choice of like, oh, I'm going to undo it.
Yeah.
I would do it differently so it wouldn't happen.
Yeah. You would take more steps to be safer with what you know now.
Have that.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So
learn from it.
Listen, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I have therapy now, but.
Which is good.
Yeah. Therapy's great. But I did want to hear, because I thought it was crazy that you were then a little bit about how you got to medical help. So you were in this canoe, right, with your friends, and then wasn't like someone like had some kind of medical background that was traveling with you?
Yeah, so we were out, you know, by canoe, by ourselves. Our guide Dan was a wilderness first responder, which is kind of like an EMT, but catered towards when you're two or more hours from definitive care. So this is the type of thing that you train for as
right.
a buffer, not the type of situation you are going to expect to deal with. So
right.
he had that going into this. We had a satellite phone with us, and so we were in communication with camp pretty quickly after this happened. And we found, and I was stable. Like, we stabilized me. My main injury, the bite, one of the teeth was a quarter inch from my femoral artery and punctured in to the full depth of the tooth.
Woo!
Right there. So that would have been fatal if it had hit that.
Wow. That's
but
crazy.
I missed that. And so I had a lot of these injuries that we were able to stabilize really well.
It would have been fatal even if there was a tourniquet.
I don't know if we had a tourniquet in our kit there. The location, I probably would have bled out prior to getting back to camp. It takes about 3 minutes for your femoral artery to drain your lifeblood. So that's
crazy.
That's pretty real. I mean, if you've seen Black Hawk Down or something like that,
I haven't.
It's serious. So, I was really, really lucky. So we stabilized my wounds, and when we got on the phone, what we found out is that a helicopter, which is the kind of go-to, wasn't available.
Okay,
well, what are the other options? There are high-risk rescues, which weren't really indicated because I was stable. And, basically we ended up working our way on our own towards Baker Lake, which was the town at the end of our route, and about 100 miles of paddling from where we were. So we were making our way there as quickly as we could, and in communication regularly with camp to like continue my medical care and monitor things. So it ended up being about a week after the attack before I got flown out.
Oh my God.
And
wait, so is
that was partly
so,
because things didn't go quite as planned.
Is it so hard to sleep when you have a leg bug? Like, did you have painkillers?
We had some painkillers. We had like, you know, ibuprofen and Tylenol and stuff for the regular stuff. And then we had some stronger painkillers for when those were needed. So not when you're sleeping. But
this is the
yeah,
music.
It was it wasn't fun. I didn't get the best sleep.
That's the stronger painkiller music.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, so that is crazy. A full week. And you just like you have enough bandages for that full week?
Well, we were being very judicious with the materials that we had, and it would have been less time, but we ended up getting caught in a storm and lost some additional gear. And that's when my leg took kind of a turn for the worse, which we started treating with materials that we had in the med kit at the direction of medical control. And then it got worse still, and it wasn't responding to that. And that's when things kind of shifted again. And that's when a helicopter was sent out to pick me up. So,
when you're saying it got worse, is it like turning green or something? And
No, like infection set in and we started treating the infection with antibiotics that we had, but then it became resistant to those antibiotics. You hear about that all the time, but you don't usually see it like that, that exact progression.
Right.
But yeah, it became resistant to those antibiotics, and then, you know, that exhausted our treatment options at that point. So that was when, you know, despite us being quite a bit closer, we, you know, had to get a helicopter in to get me out to get different antibiotics and the treatment that would take care of it.
And how is your leg today?
It's really quite good. For the first like 10 years after it happened, it was sore like almost every day. And
Whoa.
Then just over the past couple of years, that soreness is now intermittent, which is exciting. So I used to say like, oh, it hurts every day, but it's gotten better since then, which is exciting. So
yeah.
if I move too much or move too little, then it hurts. But
do you do acupuncture or anything?
I did some PT a year after the attack to get my range of motion back.
Yeah.
Because I had like 25% loss of my range of motion in that leg. And they basically broke up scar tissue and I got my range of motion back. So
that's
kind
amazing.
Of wild. You can't like tell.
Physical therapy is amazing because I think a lot of people just live with things like that, not necessarily bear bites, but you know, and don't know that there is things you can do to mitigate. But my God,
exactly.
What a legend. What an absolute legend. I am so thankful. You know, this is one of the weird things about being obsessed with bear attacks that I'm always like, what's the sweet spot for a fun bear attack story that doesn't, you know, people are completely like disfigured by it. It feels like it won't be such a fun tale, you know, like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it's not a fun tale for you, but like, you know, for me, I like to joke about bad things that happen because it helps me get through it. And I'm guessing you're similar if you're even on this podcast, but maybe you hate me now. but, you know, it's just what a journey. What a journey.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it is there's a whole spectrum of how, you know, these encounters can go.
Yeah.
Know, death, disfigurement, like something more in the middle like me and, you know, the other end of the spectrum where it runs off in the other direction. You have a crazy story to share,
right.
and everybody's doing good afterwards. And, you know, we all cope different ways. And sometimes it's, you know, finding the brevity and the lightness in what happened and laughing through things. So,
yeah,
I get it.
Yeah, man. Well, listen, I'm happy you were not killed that day. Because
Thanks.
It's given me a great podcast episode. I mean, this is the culmination of years of interest in the topic. And, you know, it is funny, though. I truly did go on a hike in bear country with zero protection. I have to learn.
Next time.
I have to learn from this. Well, I didn't even know it was bear country. I kind of forgot that, like, we have bears here in Pasadena going in people's swimming pools. Like, are those people always carrying bear spray to take their trash out? I mean, they should be, I guess. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm defer to the experts for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That anyway. Well, I just thank you so much for sharing your story. It is a great reminder to take all the proper cautionary measures when you're going out in nature, but that it's worth it. You're saying it's worth it. I can't say that for you. It's worth it to get mauled by a grizzly to see some pretty trees and bluffs, right?
Yeah, no, it's you know, it's worth doing what you need to do to get out there and to stay safe. I think there's a lot to be gained from being outside and exploring our world.
That's right. And on top of it, you have an incredible vocabulary. You should be very proud of yourself.
Sweet.
So I truly want you to play Puns of Anarchy. I think you would love it.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
It's really fun. All right, well, thank you so much, KIT. Call anytime. You're a friend of the show, our only friend.
Thanks, Jesse.
All right, bye. Thank you.
Bye now.
I drive a Honda, yeah. I go so fast, I drive a Honda. Watch your ass, I'm blowing past ya.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.